Well, good afternoon, everyone. We have our disclosure slide. I think we can just read that briefly, and we'll move on to tell you a real story of transformation, not only for the communities and the national partners that we touched, but for my organization as a result of these funds. So a little bit about CADCA briefly. We came out of a presidential commission back in the late 80s, and we were a recommendation that there was a growing number of community coalitions addressing alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs, but they didn't have a national organization to represent them. And so out of that presidential recommendation came CADCA, and we're 22 years old now. We support about 5,000 coalitions in the country, and we're working in 20 countries internationally. We look at substance abuse issues and related problems with a public health lens and a community coalition focus. And the success of this project is really the ways that we were able to, with these resources, reach new audiences within our own network and also outside of our network. So on September 22, 2011, CADCA began its CTG National Dissemination Grant. And along with us as a partner was and is the Smoking Cessation Leadership Center out of the University of California, San Francisco, as a content support and partner. And we really focus on communications, dissemination, training, and TA. And, of course, these are some examples of the areas that we were focused on in disseminating tobacco-free living strategies. Hard-hitting media campaigns, reducing access and use initiation among youth, which was very very appropriate for our audience of coalitions that focus on young people. Looking at the retail environment, our coalitions were and are very adept at looking at that environment and looking at environmental strategies around that. Implementing evidence-based strategies and, of course, promoting social support services for cessation services and quit lines. So our program design was really, we have two major prongs, but it really ended up being three. We looked at a targeted group of coalitions and really went deeper with some of the coalitions that we already recognized were part of our base. We also reached out to some of our national partners to try to disseminate messages through those partnerships that were existing. And then we disseminated through our entire CADCA network. And the CADCA coalitions really focus on young people. And so it was very appropriate because we were looking at a lot of important prevention strategies. And obviously, everyone in this room knows that 9 out of 10 smokers start before the age of 18. And so it's very critical that we have those resources for prevention of tobacco. And then other piece that was very appropriate was our focus on rural and frontier areas and looking at health disparities there, because many of the coalitions that were already part of the CADCA network hail from those rural and frontier neighborhoods and communities. So we started with a review of our own data, and we looked at our own internal data sources to see what are our coalitions doing around tobacco, and we used our annual survey of coalitions, which has an average N of about 800. What we found was, frankly, surprising. We found that a number of our CADCA members were addressing tobacco. And about half of our coalitions were addressing tobacco. About three-fourths were gathering data around tobacco. Many, many coalitions were connecting with tobacco-focused coalitions in the community. So traditionally, CADCA had always referred tobacco questions to other national tobacco organizations. But really, it made sense for us to create some tobacco-specific materials and do that dissemination through the CADCA lens, because we've been training coalitions on specific ways of addressing local public health problems and creating that change. And we were always just passing our coalitions on to another organization. So this opportunity gave us a chance to create some materials and engage our coalitions in this tobacco work that they were already doing. And it also created an opportunity for reach out and get to know those national tobacco partners. Instead of just referring people, we started to engage our national partners. One of the tiers that I spoke about were our own national partners. We strive at CADCA to have partnerships with all different sectors, national membership organizations. And the four that we ended up connecting with throughout the lifespan of the grant were the National Sheriff's Association, Lions Clubs International, representing that civic sector, obviously, National Council for Behavioral Health, which was already an ongoing partner with CADCA on a number of projects, naturally, and the Cherokee Nation, which CADCA had been building community coalitions with previously as part of our work with the Drug-Free Community Support Program, another project. So we had that ongoing relationship. Initially, we thought very much like we're going to get four new national partners every year, and we're going to bring them into the fold, and at the end of the project, we're going to have all these partners. Well, a lesson learned is that partnership building takes time, and you've got to have some stake in the game, and you've got to bring these guys on because they may not be addressing tobacco. It may not be their first priority. So we were very successful by hanging with the four that we identified and going deeper with them, and that was definitely a lesson learned that I wanted to share with you guys. We also gave them a stipend in the year three of our grant because we wanted them to collect some more data and do a little more work for us, and I think that's also important. So here's a little overview of our dissemination grant progress through year one, two, and three. You can see we did an evaluation plan, a communications plan, and a dissemination plan in year one, a lot of planning and preparing. We launched our newsletter, and we did 11 on-camera interviews with coalitions. We wanted to tell success stories about coalitions and inspire other coalitions to get out there and do the same. We also started training on tobacco issues at our national conferences, and we did some webinars in that first year. Year two, we did more of our blogging. We launched a massive dissemination of a strategizer that I'll tell you about in a moment, a publication, and we really reached out and engaged our partners in a lot of webinars. A lot of the folks that you know well. Year three, if you look at our year three numbers going from 254 members engaged to 1,900 engaged in year three, we had a massive jump. They loved our weekly catch newsletter that we were putting out, and they just signed up in droves, and so that was a great success. We also launched an online toolkit, an online course, and you can see our distribution, 71 coalition articles to 23,000 readers in year three. And everything that we did was with a coalition lens. So everything we did, we tried to tell a local coalition story as we brought other experts on for these educational opportunities. Talked a little bit about our training, our National Leadership Forum, and our Mid-Year Institute. You can see our growth in training. And I'm proud to say that even as this program has sunset, our commitment to tobacco remains stronger than ever. We have our 25th anniversary National Leadership Forum, our big conference, in February in the Washington, D.C. area, and we are training four tobacco sessions. So not too bad. From year three, we did five, and in this new environment, we're committed to four tobacco sessions there. So we continue to do that work. A little bit about our social media and our online presence. We offered numerous webinars targeting multiple audiences. We engaged in some of the topics you see there, price and promotion, access and promotion of cessation services, tobacco-free living strategies in rural communities. The video vignettes that we told, we all wanted to tell a success story, and we wanted to inspire others to do the same. So they were very effective. Our tobacco online toolkit, we invite you to check it out. You can go to preventtobaccouse.org. And at preventtobaccouse.org, this whole toolkit is built on the way that we train coalitions. So we have seven strategies for effective community change, and we build that into everything that we deliver for coalitions. So we've got there for the coalitions a sample logic model, sample smoke-free ordinance, sample community intervention maps, and they can really see the how and put it into place that way. Our Strategizer 56 was a perfect example of leveraging funds. We got resources from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to produce this publication, but with the support from the CDC, we were able to leverage and disseminate throughout the life of our project and really keep building that that publication's dissemination through this project. And of course, we developed the whole publication as a result of the recommendations of the community guide. So it was very much a CDC evidence-based driven publication. Our social media impact, I'd love to tell you this story. Our growth rate from year one to end of year three, we increased our tobacco presence on Facebook by 75% and on Twitter from 174%. In year three, our Twitter chat for World No Tobacco Day reached 88,000. We had 133 groups participate in that Twitter chat, and many of our national partners that we met through CDC were part of that and joined us in that, and we want to thank all of you. We also received great technical assistance from the CDC. The matter of how to measure reach, you know, is a challenge in communications, and FHI 360 was a technical assistance contractor for the CTG, and they gave us great technical assistance so that we could accurately measure our success. So I want to thank them. Obviously, all of us worked very hard. There was a lot of activity, as you know, in the last few years with national campaigns around tobacco-free living strategies. So we jumped on and gave it our best, working on all of the campaigns, all of the annual observances. But the great thing, if you think about it, if you're partnering with the Sheriff's Association, they might not be aware of all these national campaigns. So you get to reach out to a new audience and say, hey, law enforcement officers, did you know that it's Through with Chew Week? An opportunity to disseminate materials in a unique way to a new audience, and also to tell success stories of our coalition base at the same time. Looking at our tobacco-related messaging, our average reach of key messages, the data you see outside of the chart is our year three reach. So you can see, again, working with a relatively small award, we were able to do an incredible amount of work in disseminating of messages. Our reach on Facebook reached 15,000, a little more than 5,000 on Twitter, CACA blog 500, and you can see the growth from year one to year three of our tobacco communications reach. And no doubt, had the full vision of the CTG project been able to be a reality, that those numbers would have grown even further. So, again, this funding was a true organizational shift for us. You know, we really brought on experts on our team, and we are fully committed to tobacco. You know, we always pass that on to others, and now we're embracing it. So, as a national organization, to be able to say we are going to have a presence on tobacco is very significant. Tobacco remains a priority for us. We have support for a new project I wanted to tell you about just briefly. We're part of a national networks for Geographic Health Equity Alliance is the name of our network. And this is really focusing, it's so appropriate at the APHA conference and with the theme this year, we're focusing on the differences in health behaviors and health outcomes related to where people live. And this is a project where tobacco and cancer are coming together, and we're using what we know about coalition building, looking at some of the states and communities that are facing the greatest disparity, and going deeper with the strategies that we know work and helping to eliminate disparities in those communities. And we hope that you'll consider joining our network. Our partner on this is Wake Forest School of Medicine. It's a tremendous partner. So in closing out, I just want to say contact us. We are always looking to partner. Some of my team are here in the third row, Alicia Smith and Colleen Hopkins, driving force in staffing our CTG success. And I want to thank them. And, of course, in closing out, I just want to thank the CTG project and CDC funding for making this impact possible. Thanks.